Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
I love being part of this church. I love being part of something that is alive, something that is continually moving and evolving in the way that God intends for us to move forward in His purposes and His plans. As Pastor Colin rightly said, it's about people. We're here for people, and we're here to see God invade the lives of people. And many occasions, it is just the one person that God sends across your path on a day-to-day basis that you can begin to reach with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I love being part of you guys. Because I know that on my own with Pastor Clive and the other leadership here, we cannot touch the lives of the people that God wants us to touch without you. We know God is amazing. And we know that in our lives, there is an incredible person who lives within us that gives us a hope, future, a confidence to move forward in the purposes that God has for us every single day of our life. So many of us are thinking about future events where God is sort of saying, no, I want you to look at today, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life, in my life, and in the lives of other people that come across our path today. We live for today. Just say that. I live for today. Because today will become tomorrow. And it's just continually evolving. I'd like us to turn into our Bibles, please, in the Old Testament. Because God has just laid on me three stories to just chat through with you this morning. I just really feel that God is just wanting to say something through these three events in the Old Testament that are going to speak to our hearts this morning. If you want to just put up the first screen, because I've got a PowerPoint for you. That's good. The first story that I want to take us to is something very, very familiar. And it's Joshua Chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And it's the story of Caleb. Many of us know this story very, very well. But there's just a couple of lines within this story that I really believe that God wants to begin to work in. He certainly has been working in my life. And I believe God wants to work in your life too. But I just want to read this story to you. Now, the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brother who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on the day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years, since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old." Is anybody 85 here this morning? There's no 85, so you all count, okay? "I am just as vigorous today to go out and battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Amalekites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. but the Lord is helping me. And I will drive them out just as he said. You see, we could go on in the story, but I just really want to make sure that we get this story. And there's a couple of things that really, really, for me, are so key in this. First of all, it's a wholehearted devotion to the things and purposes of God. That has to be in everything that we do. It has to be a wholehearted devotion to God's purposes in our lives. Has to be. If we don't have that as center of our life, then the rest of what I'm going to say this morning counts for nothing. God has to be center. He has to be the central focus of our what we see, what we're looking at, what we're viewing. But because of what he and what we are seeing, because he's center, then there is going to be other things that God is then going to require of us. And I just really believe that, you know, this morning we'll just roll this story out. But the first slide, please. It says in verse 14, verse 7, just one little sentence, according to my convictions. According to my convictions. I believe that God is really challenging me at the moment, and hence I'm challenging you. Because I really believe that us have to begin to allow God to put something into our inner man that is a conviction that we need to see God begin to invade the lives of people within the areas that we live and work. That God wants us to begin to see a groups of people that are so in need of Christ in their life, that we begin to do something about it. You know, I love that Rowan was here this morning, because she's gone into a town where there is less than 10 people within that particular church. But it hasn't stopped them, Matt and Rowan, going into that place because they want to see God touch the lives of people. And so therefore, they had a conviction that God had placed in there, not a conviction that we just make up, but a conviction that God places in us that says we need to go there because we need to make Jesus known to the people in that town. And so according to their conviction, that's what they've gone to do. We've got Dave Fraser, who the people in South Holmes Estate call pastor. They call him the pastor because he has a conviction to make Jesus known to the group of people who live in that area of town. I don't know if Jonathan Crouch is here, but he has a conviction to make Jesus known to men and women who normally don't go or normally wouldn't go near a church, but would come into an event where they use motor cars and buggies and water sports to bring them into a place where they can then hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the amount of people who've come through to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior through that event is absolutely fantastic. But he had a conviction in his spirit that actually led him to do something. He just didn't dream about it and sort of say, oh, that's a nice idea. But it led him to do something about it. The same with David, that he had something of a conviction about the estate that he's working in with the groups of people who were working with him, but it led him to do something, either going knocking on doors, car washes, Easter hunts. Yeah. You know, because he was wanting something that was in here to be worked out. But Caleb said, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. His convictions were saying that God has promised me that place, that area, and therefore I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. And you see, in verse 12, I just love this. Caleb comes before Joshua and says, according to my convictions, I brought back a great report. Now I want it. Says, now give me the hill country. I want it. And I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to get it. I know there's giants in the land, but God is with me. And because God is with me, I'm going to have it. I'm going to move forward with the purpose that God wants me to have. Because I'm going to take what God is placing in here. God is placing as a conviction in my inner being. Can we go to the next stage? Because I want you to understand what the word conviction means. A conviction is a strongly held belief that is arrived after considering personal experiences and an external input that may have been encountered, or the state of being convinced. That obviously is just a word definition. Computers are wonderful things, aren't they, these days? You can just literally put something in a computer and it just comes up with a word. But I just want you to, the state of being convinced that you know that what God is saying is absolutely right. It lines up with the Word of God. You've had it checked out with the leadership. But you know that God has spoken something into being, that He has brought that convincing in the Spirit. And because of that, you know, He wants us to begin to move forward and begin to work these things out. Next, please. The cause, the reason or motive for some human action, a person, thing, event, state, or action that produces an effect. And two, the second definition, a goal or principle served with a dedication and seal. God wants to give us a cause. And Pastor Clive has given us something that God has laid on his heart. And we have it every service at this moment in time. The call video.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, you know, I believe that we need to be people who begin to allow the cause that Pastor Clive has been given to really penetrate into our own spirit so that we become convicted.
Yeah.
And that conviction begins to lead to action.
Amen. Yes. Very good.
And therefore, that cause that God wants us to have is not something that remains idle and dormant, but something that we become so zealous about that we begin to pursue what God wants us to pursue. I get excited about these things because together we can see lives of people radically changed, transformed lives. In the midst here. And wherever we go, wherever God sends us. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to really bring that conviction, that cause. We've got to allow God to do those things within our hearts and lives so that we actually become part of it. Pastor Clive has been talking about builders, hasn't he, on the holiday makers back in July. We want to be builders of the house, not just holiday makers. We're not just people passing through, but we're people that God has brought together because we're building something here. We're building part of God's kingdom. We're building something that God has shown Pastor Clive, and we need to get hold of it too. But then we need to find out, okay, what's my part in it? You know, my wife, Helena, she's involved with some of the ladies that have had difficult upbringings, difficult backgrounds. That's something that God laid on her heart. It became a conviction and a cause, and she began to be zealous about it.
Right.
And therefore, she's pursued it, and lives have been changed as a result of it. And there are people in this room today, as a result of that team, are now here wanting to be part of this cause as well.
That's
and that's great. But I just want us to go to another next page, please. To Joshua. Again, that's 14:16. But now give me a next page. Sorry, I'm just wanting to be quick. Numbers 27, please. Because I want you to understand about this. Many people won't have heard of Zelophehad. How would you pronounce that word? Okay, you can make up your own word for it. But the daughters of that guy.
Very good.
He had some daughters. They approached the tent of meeting and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders and the whole assembly and said, "Our fathers died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he has no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought the case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What the daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritances over to them." I love this story because it's just saying that you can change the situations around you if you have a cause or a conviction that is deep enough to make that change. They stood up and said, "We want to have some inheritance in the land of the promised land. We want to be part of what God is saying to us as a group of people. And therefore, we want to have an inheritance. We want to have some possession in the land that we can own, we can belong to, we can work." Yes. And therefore, they had strong enough convictions to go before the leaders of the whole community of Israel, obviously several million people. And therefore, they went to the leaders of the whole nation and saying, "We want our right. We want part of that inheritance. We want it." And they weren't going to be content until they received it. And then in Joshua chapter 17, they came to the leaders again and saying, "We're now in the land. We want you to honor the commitment that Moses made with us. Now give us the land. We want our inheritance." You see, your inheritance means that you have a right in the land. You can take possession of all that God gives you. And therefore, you can partake in the whole community of what God is wanting for us as a body of believers. The church in this nation, I believe, needs to hear this too. Because we are doing something that God is saying from the Holy Spirit about moving forward and taking possession of our land. But if you don't want an inheritance, if you don't want to take ownership of it, then you will just purely be a passenger. If you can, next page, please. You can read these things yourself. Next page. The one back. Joshua chapter 17. Because there's another group of people that I want us to see, who were complainers. You see, the ladies had a complaint. They took their complaint to the leaders, and that complaint, because it was coming from the heart of "we want to have and be part of an inheritance," that complaint was heard. But I just want you to go to the other side of the story, and there's a group of people who were part of the people of Joseph. They had an inheritance. They had an inheritance in the land. And from verse 14, "The people of Joseph said to Joshua, 'Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are numerous people and the Lord has blessed us abundantly.' 'If you are so numerous, Lord,' Joshua answered, 'and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaites.' The Lord, the people of Joseph, replied, 'The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plains have iron chariots, both those in Bethshan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel.' But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, 'You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill countries as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and though they are strong, you can drive them out.'" Now, for me, this is so contrasting to the story that we first heard about Caleb. These guys had a complaint, but they were complainers. And they were complaining because they were wanting everything to be handed on the plate to them. Oh, we want some more land. Okay, Joshua said you can have more land. That land has got some forests. That land has got some enemies that you need to conquer. But you can have it. It's yours. It's a spacious place. But what the people of Joseph wanted was just a nice quiet time, sitting quietly, sipping a little bit of nice wine, a bit of grape, you know, being dropped in by whatever. They were looking for a nice time. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I believe that we've got to have a spirit like Caleb, not the spirit of a complainer like the people of Joseph. We need to begin to see the people around us, and I believe that we need to begin to have a conviction. Mother Teresa, God gave her a heart for people in Calcutta. And she did not stop her life work. She continued it because there was a complaint, and she saw that complaint because it was godly. Not complainers, please. There is a very, very big difference.
Absolutely.
Slavery. We know that in the slavery, there were groups of people who had a complaint about slavery, and they began to bring a change in the law, but that took many, many years. They had to clear some trees. They had to destroy some enemies that were coming against them at that time, but there was a persistence like Caleb saying, we can have them. Now give me the land. Give me it. And that's, for me, what God is wanting us to do here. Is like, we want it. Now give it to us. Now please remember what I said right from the word go. God has to be center of absolutely everything we do, because we have to do this in the power of the name of Jesus. We have to. But you see, I believe that God will just begin to put things into our hearts, because ultimately, this is not something that Pastor Clive and myself and Pastor Paul, the elders, and the other leadership team here. This is our town. This is the people that we are working with, people that we love, we want to see reached. But you see, what will happen is that we've got to be people who sort of see something and then go after it, and not be like the people of Joseph who begin to complain, saying, oh, it's too difficult. Oh, they'll never change, so there's no point. You know, we're not going to move forward into what Pastor Clive has been saying on that call video because, oh, that's impossible. Those are complaints and complainers. God wants us to be people who take hold of everything that God wants for us. I don't know about you, but I've heard that call message several times now. If I was to test you on what was said on that call video, would you know? If I gave you a test, get a piece of paper out, pen please. No. But would you know what was said? Or is it something that's now going on in the background that you really haven't taken hold of?
That's it.
I'm just interested.
That's a good question.
Because you see, what I want is for what Pastor Clive has seen, what God has given to him as the vision of the church, to be something of a conviction, a cause, a complaint in our own heart, to see something change in the society and within the people that I have influence over. Let's go to the next screen. Because I put this down for you. Okay? On the next couple of slides, I've just put some of the definitions of what Pastor Clive put on that call. A revival for a generation. Is that a core conviction that you have for yourself? That we see God invade, the name of Jesus, invade our this nation again and the lives of people. That Jesus Christ is made known again. Is that something that you're carrying, that you're praying for? Turning the tide of a godless society. Boy, do we need that, don't we? But what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? See, it's not just about the people on the stage. This is about us. You and me are part of this purpose, this call that God has given to us for this next season of time, for this next generation of time. But is it yours? Are you carrying it? Are you praying it into being? Are you allowing God to water it and birth it? The church living in the power of the gospel. Are we people who are so determined that we're wanting to make sure that the word of God is so real in our life? We need to be people of the word in a greater way than ever before, because we're carrying this wherever we go. We have to be people of the word because we find God's heart in here. God's heart of mercy, God's heart of love, God's heart of compassion. We understand God's heart to see people released and set free. That's God's heart, but you need to understand the word, and the word has to be part of you. It's got to be real in your life. Right. A nation turning back to God. Can you see it? Yes. Pastor Clive has seen it. Are you getting hold of it too? I believe Pastor Colin was absolutely right. It's turning one by one. Yes. That one by one is so, so crucial for us to get hold of. Because when we hear about, oh, we want to see thousands saved. You know, those thousands are made up of the ones. Yes. The ones that you personally reach. The ones that you are touching. The lives that you're impacting with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. The fabric of society being changed. That is possible. And those three stories, Caleb said, now I want it. Now give it to me. The girls sort of saying, I want part of an inheritance. I'm not going to let it go until I have some part of the land that we're going into or we're in. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of the kingdom life that you're giving to me. Now I want to be part of it. There is people and different things have happened in our society that the fabric of society is changing because of Christians. But it's us having the cause in here to see that change. Next, please. Governments, laws, policies being shaped again by the truth of God's word. I believe it. Do you? Because we've got to begin to pray this into to being. The students, there's one or two people who I mentor. And one of the things that I've said is that, you know, if you are convinced about something, that God is, you know, you're convinced that God is wanting to do something in somebody's life, how much time are you putting to see that come to fruition? And I've been encouraging some of them to just be praying, you know, for short periods of time every single day to see something that God has spoken come into life and come into being. If you know of people and you're in people's lives and you know that they need to see change in their life, how much time are you putting in the prayer closet in your own time to see God open that heart to receive what he wants them to receive? It's a challenge, isn't it, to all of us? How much time are we really seriously putting to see change in the people that we are touching, the lives of people? How much time are we really putting into place to see those change? Are we convinced of it? Is it a cause that we really feel that this is worth fighting for? It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is what Pastor Clive has seen. This is the words that he uses on the screen every single week. And all I'm doing is just reminding us all of what Pastor Clive has seen the church being empowered to take the power of the gospel of the kingdom to impact their towns or cities. Remember, it's people in the towns and city. But God wants to empower us, you and me, to see the name of Jesus, the power of the gospel, influencing people's lives, changing their lives, seeing lives transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not us, it's the power of Jesus Christ that works through us. But we have to actually be there for it to work. Rohan could not be a blessing to JC if she was in the UK. She had to go. Jenny had to be a blessing when she went to Israel. She was a blessing to Israel by going. We're not going to see and not going to be the blessing God wants us to be if we don't go. It's the same with Caleb. He can, you know, have had all the promises in the world about having this land called Hebron. But if he did not go, it would still be a nice dream, a nice picture that he had in his mind. God wants us to take hold of the things that he is showing us. Now I give me this land.
Come on. Absolutely.
To make disciples. Amen. It's not just about having a hand up in the air. It's to make disciples, helping people and walking with people along a journey. And then in turn, they will bring other people along that journey.
Yes. Amen. Very good.
To make disciples. Again, Lord, I want to be somebody who, you know, I want to disciple somebody. I want to have somebody coming alongside of me who I can just share all the good things about you in the Word. I want a disciple. I want to begin somebody's journey with them. I want to help them to get into the Word. I want them to help them pray. I want to help them to be the witness that God wants them to be. It's exciting.
Hallelujah.
It's really exciting.
Yes.
Committed to my locality and my nation. So many people sort of say, oh, I wish I wasn't in Britain. I want to be in Australia because it's nice and sunny or whatever. I love this nation. I absolutely love this nation. This is where God's placed me. I love this nation that I belong to. I do. Are you getting it? Because you see, if where your heart is, everything else follows. And that's why the submission of your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ is such a crucial thing. Because if your submission is in the right place, then your obedience will follow.
Yeah, that's right. Very good.
It's quite easily. It is. If your heart is submitted to God, then your obedience will naturally follow.
Very good.
Simple. Next, please. A lasting transformation. Again, this is what Pastor Clive's seeing. That we don't see people just coming into the church here and within 3-4 months, they go away and not be completely transformed. We want people to meet with Jesus Christ, don't we? If people meet with a living Savior, then their life will be transformed. Transformed. Can you see it? Where people come in to this building, but also we go into their homes. We go into their environments. And because God is leading us, God is moving in our life, then we see transformed lives in those places too. It's in both. It's not either or, it's in both. You can see it. It's a cause, it's a conviction. Miracles are part of everyday life. But when was the last time you saw a miracle? Sorry, I'm just throwing these things out. Because if we're going to see a miracle in everyday life, then we actually have to begin it. We have to step out. And if there's somebody who's got a headache, then okay, believe God for a miracle and just begin to see and begin to pray. Because unless we step out, then we're not going to see anything. It's a cause, it's a conviction that God wants us to have to move forward into the plan that he has for us. Let's see a little bit more of what Pastor Clive's saying in the next screen. Households and families saved on every street. Are we going for that one?
Yes.
Are we really going for that one? Because I don't live on your street. You don't live on my street. You're hearing me? This is what God wants. Really, God wants this. I believe this with all of my heart, that this is what God wants us to have and wants us to lay hold of and to enter into. Households and families saved on every street. But that's going to take us. That takes our involvement. That in this promised land, it is having, you know, like those daughters, like Caleb, saying, I want part of this inheritance. I want to be part of this. And so therefore, I want to see people's lives touched and saved. Marriages and family life restored. This is what Pastor Clive has seen. This is what is on that call video every single week at the moment. Are you picking it up? Are you seeing what God is wanting to say to us? Divorce rates decreased. Abortions reduced. I think if you knew statistically how many people aborted children in this country, you would be astonished. Astonished. But you see, it's not all of us that are going to have that as a cause. But one or two of you may begin to have that as a cause that you sleep and breathe. Pastor Colin has slept and breathed revival for 45 years plus. And he's still going, and he's not yet 85. He's not let it go. He's got the tenacity like Caleb, saying, give it to me.
Come on.
I've seen it. Now give it to me. But you see, all of these things on here, you know, child abuse diminishes. You know, God may just put it on a number of us as a cause and as a conviction. This is why we're a body. And as a body, we're all going to be functioning and we're all going to have a conviction and a cause in different ways. But it's an action that God wants us to put on it. You know, we have an amazing team of people who work every single Sunday in the children's groups because they have a conviction of wanting to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of young people. They are sowing their life, their finance, and also their time, their energy into making that happen. And I believe that God will raise in this place other people who will have that cause and conviction. But within that, that means that you've got to go and do something about it. And therefore, you will say, okay, I have that cause and conviction, and so I'm going to put my name on the list too to help out with J24/7 juniors, 24 seniors. I want to see mothers completely, you know, who come into mother and toddlers on a Tuesday and a Thursday morning, that God begins to put a conviction on there. There are hundreds of ladies who come into this building every single week who do not know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior.
That's it. Come on.
But they need people to go and talk to the ladies.
Come on.
Because it becomes a conviction. And it becomes a cause that you're working for. You see, it's us working together, but that's not all of us. God is going to do different things with different one of us. But all I'm saying is, I'm just trying to encourage you to get hold of it, and what God does put in, you begin to run with.
Yeah.
Of course you come and share things with leadership, and you bounce things off leadership. But I want to encourage you today to actually get up and begin to run after the cause. You know, Joshua didn't go after the girls and sort of say, okay, remember when Moses said that, you know, we need to sort that on out now, don't we? No, the girls had to come back to him and said, remember what happened in Moses? Then now we want it. What you promised back then, I want it now. And so it was very, very much up to them to come to the leadership, not the other way around. See, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, They devoted themselves. It wasn't the leadership devoted themselves. It's they devoted themselves to the apostolic apostles' teaching, etc. But it was up to the individual to devote themselves. And I really believe God is saying that he wants us to devote ourselves to the purpose that God wants for Kingdom Faith in this generation, this period, this time of history. Suicides decline. I believe that God will lay on people's hearts to get involved in places where, you know, who's the organization that does Samaritans? I think they do an incredible job, and they save the lives of thousands of people every single year. By being a voice on the end of a phone of people who just really want to talk out where they're at. Again, it's a conviction. I can get involved in that. I can be part of that. I can be a help. I can be an answer to see suicides decline, as Pastor Clive has heard from God for the vision of our church here. Fathers taking their place in family life. We need that, don't we? Godly husbands. People who are going to do that. Next, please, because time. People young and old seen as important and life is valued. Again, all ages are involved in this. Our generation of time is not about an age group. It's about a period of time. But this, again, is what Pastor Clive has seen. I'm just helping us to see it again. Drug and binge drinking culture eroded. We need people to get involved in those areas. To become a conviction and a cause that you're going to live for. But by living for it means that you're going to do something about it. Yes. Crime rate reduced to lowest levels.
Right.
We'll go for that one, won't we?
Come on.
Yeah. All the policemen in the house said yes. In revivals, in past revivals, where God really does begin to move amongst the community. The police back in about 100 years ago, they had nothing to do, so they formed some choirs. They had so much time on their hands that they started to form choirs. So can you sing, John? But it is. Because there was so little to do because of what God was doing amongst the people. It just brought amazing change. And so the police had nothing to do, and so they started to do some singing around the place. Community development. Next, please. Addictions broken. Again, this is what has been on the core video. Addictions broken. Boy, don't we need to see that happen. But it's got to be a core conviction that we begin to take hold of and saying nothing is impossible for God. And therefore taking hold of that. Victims of abuse set free and healed. Again, people involved in that. But it becomes a cause and a conviction that you will not let go of. Fear driven out of lies and replaced by the power of God's love. Come on.
Yes.
This is what we need to see. Young people beginning to have a vision and a purpose for their life and their future. You speak to young people, there is loads and loads of young people in our nation that are so hopeless in their outlook. They are devoid of hope. They don't see that there's any jobs around. They see the financial climate that we're living in. And they are devoid of hope. Jesus Christ can bring them hope. But he needs you and me as his tools, his instruments, to be in their lives, in their faces, to bring that truth and that revelation right in front of them. That's why it's today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where if you meet a young person or you meet anybody, family, friends, colleagues, those are the people that God wants you to begin to influence today. Next, please. Those people who are marginalized in society having a voice to speak out the truth and justice. Again, that's on the core video. Are you living it? Are you breathing it? Are you praying this into being? So that it becomes part of your life. Because it's our future. And I really believe that, you know, this, what Pastor Clive has said for Kingdom Faith, that's the heartbeat of God, because it's touching people. It's bringing transformation into people's lives. Amen. Changing situations and circumstances. I get excited about this.
Amen.
Because I just heard God say, I want to.
Amen.
I want to do this.
Amen.
I've been ready to do this. Because this is my heart.
Hallelujah.
If you read the word, this is God's heart. All that Pastor Clive has seen is God's heart. Because it's bringing people from darkness into light.
Amen.
Bringing people from death into life.
Yes.
It's God's heart.
Yes.
It's God's life.
Right.
God wants to.
Right.
And, you know, I've said to the students recently, you know, God wants to heal. God wants to set free people free. God wants to. And I believe that God wants to encourage us, because for me, you know, I believe we need to hear that sound. God wants to. God wants to be a blessing. God wants to bless you personally. God wants to heal you personally. God wants to bring you into a place of freedom and liberty so you can bring other people into that same place. God wants to bring a conviction into your heart so that you begin to join in with the inheritance that God wants to give to you because you are part of us. God wants to. Next, please. God wants you to be a history maker. There's been a song that has been sung, but I really believe that God wants you to become a history maker, somebody who's going to change the society that we live in, because we're going to be winning people one by one. Can you see that the places that you work beginning to be transformed because you're serving, seeing one by one becoming into that discipleship, coming into that place where they're saying Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior too. One by one. Can you see it? Can you see it? Suddenly having a Christian company with Christian values. And then that goes into all the influences that that company brings. Can you see it? Because it's what God wants. Because He wants you to be a history maker. And I think those are questions that God has been asking me. What am I living for? What cause am I living for? What's my complaint? Now, please, the complaint is not a negative in this scenario. You know, Wilberforce had a complaint in his heart about slavery. Mother Teresa had a complaint in her heart about poverty and those of people in Calcutta who were in a desperate, desperate need. She had a complaint, and she made sure that that complaint was a positive reaction, that a positive reaction was caused because of that. A complainer is not what I'm talking about. God wants to empower us to become history makers, people who are determined to see the advancement of God's kingdom no matter what it takes. Like Caleb, there was giants in the land. It was the toughest place to go and conquer. Yet Caleb at 85 said, now give me the land.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
We won't settle for anything less.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, for me, we can't. If this is what God is laying before us, then we cannot settle as a group of people for anything less. We've got to go with this with a zeal and with a passion. We have to move forward with the purpose that God has for us. And we can't let go of this. And we've got to be like that's why I said it. Ladies, you have a part in the inheritance. Because you're all sons. But you do. You have part of the inheritance that God wants you to have. But we've got to be like Caleb, who takes possession of the land. I'm not sure if I've got one more slide. No. Sorry, I can't remember what I had. Can we please stand, please? I just really, again, think that you believe that you just now need to have a think just for a moment or two about all that, you know, God asked me to share this morning. There was a lot in this morning. But I believe that God wants us just to have a moment where we're saying, okay, what do you want my part to be in this? Am I there at the moment with what Pastor Clive is seeing? And if I'm not, Lord, do whatever is necessary to bring that right heart submission to you. That's why it's good to think about these things at times. Because when you have thought, you can then begin to talk to God. Talking to God is very simple. Just tell him, Lord, I know you want to. I know that you want to do these things in my heart and my life. Lord, help me to be so totally submitted to you in my heart, so that in everything that I do, that obedience will follow naturally. Just speak to him, your own words. I can't pray these prayers for you. If you need to just talk to him and sort of say, Lord, work these things in my life. What I'm living for. Today, I actually can't say what I would be living for. So therefore, God, you need to do something in the submission to you. So that, Father, that those things, if I'm asked a question in the future, that I will be able to say, this is what I'm living for. This is what motivates me. This is what I live and breathe for. This is what I'm moving towards. This is what I've seen. This is the convictions that I have that align with what you have given Pastor Clive. Do that work in my heart, Jesus. But please use your own words. I believe that God is, when people have been watching and the news and different reading the papers, that as you've been watching the news and reading the papers, there have been things that have come up again and again and again, and you've gotten quite annoyed about the situation. You've got angry about, you know, something that you've read about the injustice that you're seeing. I just believe that is, you know, could be, and again, this is where you talk things through, but I believe for some, that may be the cause that God is putting in you, that he wants you to begin to allow him to water in your life, because it's the seed that he's placed there. God is wanting to place that seed that he placed in somebody like Caleb, that tenacity that I'm not going to let go until I see it. And if you don't know what that seed is at this moment in time, I believe that very quickly you need to say, Lord, just show me over this next period of time, show me what that seed is, so that I can be totally involved and I can begin to enjoy the inheritance that you want to give me as a child of the King. Just begin. These are your words. I can't pray these things for you. But what you count as important, you will put your time to. If you see your family who are not saved yet as important, then you will put time to that in prayer. If you've got your friends or colleagues that you want to see come into that place of freedom and liberty, then you will give quality time to make sure that that takes place, and it begins in the prayer room. It begins with you and God having that time together so that He can download to you the wisdom that He wants you to have and the steps that He wants you to take in order to begin to see that flourish. If there's anybody here who has come in here, who's been brought here, and who, if somebody asked you whether you were a Christian who was born again in the way that we describe that, if you know that God has not, you've not met God in the way that I've been describing today, in the worship and what Pastor Jonathan was saying before in the prayer cards and the, oh Lord, and the thanksgiving, that you know that you're missing out on something that is so alive and so real that you're seeing in everything that is around you, and that you want to come and encounter the God that we are describing, that you want to be part of the cause to see a tide of a godless society completely turned around. If that's you and you want to know more, that you want to begin this journey, like so many others have started here, if that's you, if you want to put your hand up, I'd just like to see it, because I want us all to be in that place where we are journeying in this incredible journey that God has for us together. So if it's you that you know that you've not been part, you've not become a Christian, you've not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I want to give a moment of time, because we're seeing you as a very, very important person here this morning. If that's you, quickly put your hand up. I'm not going to be too long. See that hand? Thank you. That's great. Somebody will come and talk to you afterwards and begin the process. But Father, I just thank you for this young lady who knows that she has encountered something here this morning that is so real. And that is a person called Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, I just thank you that that process, that step has been made this morning. And Father, Lord, as that journey continues, Father, Lord, that her heart will be so open to everything that you are wanting to say, to bring her into freedom and a liberty that you want for her. Father, I just thank you for her life. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.